Commissioner Henthorn?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner Finch?
Here.
Commissioner Seymour?
Here.
Oh, he's here, okay. Commissioner Thompson?
Here.
And Commissioner Peterson?
Okay, pledge allegiance, please stand.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You read, in our packets was the draft of the meeting of December 3rd. Oh, it seems so long ago, like a whole year. And with that, are there any comments, changes? Without hearing any, the minutes are approved as presented.
Right, I'm only gonna read this once. I don't know that I can read it very loud, so.
Can we just do a mic check? Stephen, can you hear Stacy?
It's a little low, but yeah, I think it's gonna be fine.
I'll try to talk louder.
Thank you.
And give you plenty of time. Good evening, I'm Stacy Ekstrom, Chair of the Morrill County Planning Commission. I'm proceeding over the meeting tonight. Persons who wish to provide testimony may do so orally or in writing. Testimony and evidence must be directed toward the applicable criteria. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision makers and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes an appeal to the Board of Commissioners on that issue. Please sign in the sheet in the back of the room or make a note in chat if you are participating in Zoom if you'd like to present testimony. Please speak only when identified by the chair and begin with your name, spelling of your name, and the address. If you have exhibits for our consideration, please provide a copy for the Planning Commission. If you would like to request the commission hold open the record or continue the hearing, you must make that request before public portion of the hearing is closed. That concludes my introduction, and in that time we're supposed to read it over, but we're not going to. And so the first hearing is a variance VN 05324 with the poor Morrow applicant and owner. At this time, are there any calls for extensions or conflicts of interest? With that, we'll wait for Liz to set out. Oh, that's good. Give you a second. It's, I don't know. And then Tamara, this is
Clint. And Clint is feeling kind of under the weather, so he's going to present his first Planning Commission meeting remotely from the office. So I'm right here, Clint, to back you up if you'd like to start. So it's over to you, Clint. There you go.
We, Tanner, we discussed this, and I was not presenting tonight.
The variance?
Correct. I apologize.
Oh, I'll do it then, on the fly. Okay, I thought I was doing the partition and you were doing the variance. Not a problem. Okay.
Thank you.
So the applicant here is the Port of Morrow, and they came to us with a development, and they are closer than the required setback to that. It's actually a road that's owned by the port, and so they're requesting a setback to that variance. The setback is supposed to be 30 feet, and they're asking for it to be 4.26 feet from the right-of-way. And the map that Stephen has up there, you can see that even though it's 4.26 feet from the right-of-way, it's a significant distance from the actual built structured road. So you can see Airport Road and the center line there. It's because that's, I think it's 100 feet, I think it's 100 foot right-of-way there. It's a significant distance from there. Jacob Kane from the port is here, and Walter is here. I forgot your last name.
Ross.
Walter Ross. Thank you, Walter. And they're both here to represent the applicant if you have any questions. we thought it'd be a pretty straightforward outright use, but we need to have the Planning Commission approve the variance first. It feels pretty straightforward to me. If you have any questions, others can probably fill in the blanks.
At this time, thank you, Tamara. At this time, I invite the applicant proponent to protest to present testimony and evidence.
Jacob, did you want to say anything?
I was going to turn the floor over to Walter.
Okay. He's here, so.
Look, there's a lovely chair right there for you to sit in.
Yeah.
Recording in progress.
Okay, so, sorry.
State your name, spell it, and your address, please.
My address as far as business or personal?
That's fine, yes.
Okay. So my name is Walter Ross, W-A-L-T-E-R-R-O-S-S. I work in the engineering department at the Port of Morrow. And the address would be 2 Marine Drive Northeast, Boardman, Oregon, 97818.
Thank you.
So is there anything you'd like to say about the application?
So I think you covered most of it as far as it is 100-foot right-of-way, just to clarify the question that you had there. We do have 75-foot to the fence line from the center line of road, and then it would have been it'd be about 4'3" from the fence line to the edge of building. It was the variance that we're requesting. The fence line would be at the property line, northern property line. The building itself is weather protection for the manifolds, the wellhead itself, pump gear, things like that. The reason we kind of encroach into that is the well ended up getting drilled a little bit too close to the fence line. So we're restricted with working space that we have around the wellhead for the building itself. And it is part of another permit that we have approved through you guys right now for the 2 million gallon tank. This would be the distribution system for that water to the fire line that is running through the right-of-way on the road. I guess another thing we might add is that if there is a major issue with the 4-foot setback, there could be a possibility of adjusting the road right-of-way, but that's quite a long process, so we hope not to, if at all possible.
And in this instance, the port owns both the land and the right-of-way, so feels pretty, seems pretty reasonable.
Does anyone have any, Commissioner Staff have any questions for the applicant?
I have this is Jacob. I have one clarifying question. Tamara, you mentioned 30 feet being the setback, but I thought it was 20 feet was the minimum setback in the airport, so.
Hey, Jacob, just for the record, we know who you are, but will you please state your name and address?
Sure. Jacob Payne, representing Port of Morrow, and as Walter said, address 2 Marine Drive, Boardman, Oregon, 97818.
Thank you.
So, Clint helped with these findings and did a nice job. The setback for a collector street is 30 feet. Did we previously say 20? I mean, that's typical for a residential area.
Yeah, so I'm wrong here, but I thought it was 20 in the airport industrial zone.
I remember 20, but in all honesty, I did not bring any backup for that.
I can correct the findings after I look that up. It wouldn't be consequential, so if they approve the variance, they approve the variance.
And the only reason I bring it up is it sounds like it's 30 feet sounds like a lot more than 20.
Yeah, it does.
Commissioner, if I may, the setbacks in the airport industrial
is based on the street, the frontage. So this is a collector street, so it, the collector street is 30 feet.
There's a letter in the packet also from Brandon to Clint that says the setback is 30 feet and on page 21 of the packet.
Okay, I apologize if I have my information correct, but I guess the bigger discussion too, and it's something that we talked briefly about with Tamara, is long term as development continues at our airport. I think one thing that we're probably going to approach the county about is aligning those setbacks to be a little bit more in line with other industrial type zoning. Because like compared to port industrial or other zones, these setbacks seem a lot more than what we've seen on our other industrial zone areas. So that's a later conversation, but I just want to make that it'll be, you know, I'm trying to begin some time looking for modifications to the zone language.
Okay. Yeah, you bet, we can talk about that.
Any additional questions? Hearing none, thank you. I invite any opponents to testify and present evidence. Okay, hearing none, any other interested parties to provide neutral testimony? Hearing none on that, we don't need any rebuttal because nobody had anything to say. So we have to ask if anyone wants to keep the hearing open.
Can I ask a couple questions?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I'm on Exhibit A from Brandon Pike, and the Oregon Department of Aviation does not recommend this development because it conflicts with their airport land use compatibility guidebook. Is guidebook law or guidebook just a guide?
I mean, I think it's something that we could seek more answers on.
Yeah, because it says the applicant is advised to contact Brandon Pike. Then the other letter is addressing the water. Sorry. I need to highlight it, and I did not.
If I'm reading, are you on page 20?
No, I'm reading the exhibits. Your
The exhibits that you mailed out.
Those are the exhibits for the land
that's
partition,
the city of
Oregon, not the variance.
Well, that makes a big difference. I was going with this one. Okay.
Yeah, well, I was like, you're okay. Yep.
Sorry.
You're okay. It's all good.
Oh, that's
right.
Okay, this time we'll close the public hearing. Any additional questions by the staff or the commission?
What's the purpose of the well? Is it to supply the airport or to supply for the port or just this treatment?
It's for the airport industrial park. So the big use for that one at this time would be for filling our potable water line, which is the main purpose would be for fire loop service. That we decommissioned another well that was over there due to damage. So this one was re-drilled. And it's replacing that water right, or that water right has been moved to it. So we are a little hamstrung with the location of the well, since it is already in place. But the main use is fire.
I am curious, just curiosity. How long ago did we discover how tight the well was from the property line? Because the well's been in place for some time, right?
Well, the well has been drilled within the last like year and a half or so. The building structure, I was tasked with putting electric room, a manifold room, and a chlorine room together for that to treat it all the potable standards so that it could be put into the fire room. And about maybe April, somewhere between April to May of last year, and we kind of started getting going on that. about a month ago, we turned in for planning once we got the building finalized and everything, and that was when we noticed the big issue.
Okay.
Started working with Clint and Tamara.
Okay. Just curious. It was. I knew the well had been there for a while, so.
Yeah. I think about it.
It's been there for a while.
Year and a half or so.
Yeah. So.
And there were some issues with the well, too, when they were drilling it, as far as, like, being straight and stuff like that. But, you know, kind of know how sometimes wells go. They, wherever they can get a flat spot for the rig is where they end up putting down.
Yeah. Any additional questions? Hearing none, I would call for a motion or to continue the hearing.
Oh. A motion for a decision or a request for continuance, is that what you said? Either one.
You guys changed my words on the back.
I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance.
Okay, just a call for a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve V-N-053-24 use variance application.
Okay, we have a first, we have a second.
I'll second.
We have a first, second. Any additional discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passed.
Thank you. You're not in the hot seat.
All right. Our next, Stephen, we're moving on. So our next hearing is land partition LP 10-529-24 replat RNV 24 for the city of Boardman as an applicant and owner. At this time, I call for any extensions or conflicts of interest. Okay, hearing none. Tamara, is here to
I am. Okay. Yes, thank you for that. So this application is a parcel that's owned by the city of Boardman. It's located, as you can see on the map, Tower Road is the west boundary. Interstate 84 is the northern boundary for a portion of it. Stephen, can you move over to the map that shows the parcels, which would be page
37?
Yes, thank you. Page 37 in the packet. Well, Stephen's looking for that. In your packet on page 37, Stephen made some nice colors so you could show parcel one is about 12.7 acres, parcel two is 85.5, and then you see Coonsey Lane is the barrier between parcel two and parcel three, which would be 205 acres. So this was pretty tricky. We got the application from the city. We all just sort of, easy, straightforward partition. And I know Carla's on the call. She is the planning official for Boardman, and I think, what?
Is it a list? Do we need a?
Yeah, I'll get there. Yeah, it's okay. And I think the city manager might also join by phone. And you do have a long exhibit list, but I just cover a couple of things and then we'll go over the exhibit list if that's okay. So Stephen made this map to point out the current Coonsey Lane alignment, and our public works director, Eric Imes, is here, and the
deputy
public works director, Rory
Roulette,
is here. So we really haven't had much time to chat about it, but since they live down in South County, they came to help with this. There's a lot going on in and around that intersection and Tower Road. And then the further we dug into this, the more sort of complicated the access issues became. It started with Daisy, and Daisy's on the call. Then she sort of worked with Clint, and then we kind of tag teamed the final report. But here I am doing the presentation. So that existing, where it says current Coonsey Lane alignment, that's accurate. The old Coonsey Lane, you can see, goes to the north. It's along the boundary of parcel two. That old Coonsey Lane, it looks like That's good, Stephen. Thank you. It's an easement. And when I talked with Carla yesterday, because she was here at the county at the time, I think at about in 2005, the county straightened out Coonsey Lane, so it's in the current alignment, that current location. And at that time, she and the public works director did some research, and old Coonsey Lane wasn't a dedicated right-of-way, and that's not that uncommon in the county. So we have county roads that didn't ever go through a formal process, but probably came over on wagon trails, who knows. But anyway, so what we discovered is there's never been a formal vacation of that roadway, and the reason is that it was never formally dedicated. It still shows up on Google Maps, and it was some so it's very confusing. And there's still a roadway. You can still drive along that old alignment. Another thing we discovered, I don't know what picture you want to show, Stephen, but that tax out 133 is Love's truck stop, and some of you have been around for a while. You remember those meetings. And that red line is what is the southern boundary of Love's truck stop. If maybe you can point that out, Stephen. This, up until a couple of days ago, we thought was just the driveway for Love's. That's actually a dedicated roadway. And it was never named, and it's a 60-foot roadway. So one of the exhibits that you'll see is from ODOT, who paid really close attention to this because it's such a busy intersection at a state highway. And they're proposing access that's different than what the applicant, the city, proposed. So I'll just zip through a few things. This is technically a replat of two formal partition plats. And I included some language in here that addresses the replat requirements. And when you look at the assessor's map, it's really messy because it's got all kinds of lines and references to former plats and replats. So in the findings here, we address the approval criteria that are in Article 5 from the land partition, Section 5.030. On page 26, we talk about findings for sewage and access. And what I have recommended, at least in the original draft, is given the size of the parcels, they're large, the new parcel 2. Uh-oh. Okay. Where'd the map go, Stephen? Oh, he started sharing his screen. There we go. Thank you.
Sorry.
It's okay. It seems like it's large enough we wouldn't have to do the site suitability, which is the first piece to get on-site septic approval. We've had some parcels that are larger where we've required that. You'll see some testimony in the record in those supplemental attachments that Michaela gave with a really nice table that describes what those are. Maybe we should. There's no specific proposed development on either of these properties, so we have to assume that anything that's currently allowed in the underlying zoning could happen. We have pretty good reason to believe that parcel one might be a substation or a utility in the near future. And they also, that utility also recently got an access permit for what's shown up there as the old Coonsey Lane easement to get to tax lot 122, which could also be for parcel one. But that's not in front of you tonight. In front of you tonight is the decision about the land partition. Let's see, so the access, and access for parcels two and three, there's a lot of frontage, either Coonsey Lane or Tower Road. And I included in here some spacing standards. And my initial recommendation is that we ask them to get an access permit so we know that if somebody wants to build tomorrow, we have an access certain. We know exactly where it will be. And those access locations can also change in the future. So I think the city will say they'd prefer not to do that at this point, and you can talk about that, and that's just fine. And then ODOT is saying they don't want another access from particularly Tower to parcel two because of the congestion that's already going on there. And Caitlin and I and Eric and Daisy have been working with ODOT on the interchange area management plan. And we just had our first formal technical advisory committee. We'll have a public advisory committee again in March. That plan, the purpose of doing an interchange area management plan is to say we have a busy intersection. We need to take a closer look and maybe do some projections about a future demand on that intersection and pre-design, if you will, where those access points will be. That won't be ready for you to adopt until the end of this year sometime, but there's a lot of development going on, particularly to the west and to the south of that intersection. So Teresa Penninger is from ODOT, Region 5 Planner. She is there to answer questions, and she also has a letter in the record. So let's see, on page 27, I continue to talk about access, and also on page 28. Page 28, I just cut and pasted the roadway standards that we have, and the standards, the classifications, and then the commensurate improvements are based on ADTs, average daily traffic. And then also the spacing standards are in here. And then on page 29, we talked about some water issues. We submitted a copy of this to Oregon Water Resources, and they didn't reply, but I don't think there are water rights. But there is a letter in there from West Extension Irrigation District and the Bureau of Reclamation, and we can take a look at those. And let's see. I also included in here the subdivision ordinance, which I think technically, since this is a replat, even though it's not in the same calendar year, you have a series partition, you could bump that up to the higher subdivision standard. Again, they're pretty large parcels, so I just treated it as a land partition. So then we get to the conditions. Before we talk about conditions, any questions? And I do want to point out that the packet, Michaela made a copy, and we sent out most of these yesterday, right, Michaela?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's see. So it might make sense to just acknowledge those letters, and I can kind of summarize. And then talk a little bit about the conditions, and then we'll hear from the agent, from the applicant and the agencies. So we have in this packet a letter from Brandon Pike from Oregon Department of Aviation. He doesn't object to the partition, but we notify them anytime something's going on, and a portion of that, this property, is within the airport approach zone and the airport's safety zone. We have two of them up there. So any development that's in that overlay zone, we have to route to FAA and Oregon Department of Aviation before we can issue a permit. And it's primarily a height restriction, but there are other things like ponding, you know, next to an airport, that sort of thing. Then we have the January 23rd letter from Teresa Penninger from Oregon Department of Transportation. And Teresa can speak to this, but in summary, ODOT is recommending an access. It's a little bit confusing to follow the map. Maybe Stephen can bring it up. But essentially, they're proposing that old Coonsey Lane easement continue to the north and then to the west to the end of parcel one, and then down so it intersects with that roadway that's the southern boundary of the Love's truck stop.
So that's the proposal?
That's what ODOT's proposing. Okay. Yes, Oregon Department of Transportation, yes. Okay. We also have in here a comment letter from the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, Chet Sader. If these federal easements are complicated because if you think about way back when, lots and lots of undeveloped property, the federal government said, Bureau, you can put your easement wherever you want. And that also meant that wherever that water can get to farm ground, you can call that your easement. And some of those have never been surveyed or identified. I'm oversimplifying, but that's kind of Tamara's Cliff Note version of it. So they have a letter in here, and I don't see them on the phone tonight. They just said, in regards to the proposed partition, the Bureau would like it to be noted that there is an irrigation lateral that extends into the east side of proposed parcel 3, which is the southern one, and which would require coordination with the Reclamation and West Extension Irrigation District to divert federal waters that flow through the lateral prior to the development of parcel 3. And my interpretation doesn't apply to the land partition application. But it does make sense to memorialize that in the partition plat, because anytime we can inform current and future owners, that's valuable. But given that, I think condition number 7 and condition number 8 could be moved to a subsequent condition of approval that again just memorializes that is there, that easement. And then exhibit D is a letter from Bev Bridgewater. And in summary, she says she acknowledges the ditch, and it's a canal that carries right-of-way under the Canal Act of 1890. Bev always does good research. And it says the WAD has no objection as long as the federal water delivery is protected. And so I had those two listed as conditions 7 and 8, and we could make those subsequent conditions if you'd like. I'll just go on. Exhibit E is submitted by Jim and Kelly Doherty, and it's a pretty lengthy letter. They're objecting to the partition for a number of reasons. And I'm not sure this came in today or yesterday?
This morning.
Oh, this morning. So I'm not sure.
See, I didn't see this one and the one that went out a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Right. And by law, they can submit it even at the public meeting if they'd like. So I see Jim Doherty on the line. So maybe in public testimony, they could better describe their letter. And then condition F is the letter that the city submitted just this evening, right at 5 o'clock. I don't know what I did with my copy of it. But.
It wasn't stapled to us.
It was not. Yeah, it is. I got one. Thank you. I got one. So there are several items in there that I think we could discuss. I don't think any of these items. Oh, there's my city letter. I don't think any of these items are complete game changers, or would leave. But I think we can have a discussion about changing some conditions of approval.
Tim, I just find it really hard to think, I don't know, for me personally, it's a pretty long exhibit, a last minute letter. I mean, it's kind of hard to really get into it, to give it what I feel like, attention. Thank you. That was easy. The attention it needs. I mean, I can't sit here and read this big of an exhibit at a meeting and expect to go through it. And then the city's letter being this late, it's just kind of the same thing. I mean, I'm not comfortable myself with that. So I'm just telling you now that I'm not comfortable believing it.
I appreciate you sharing that. Chair, if it makes sense to you, maybe I can just be quiet at this point, and the folks who submitted those two letters, both the city and the Dohertys, they're on the call, and maybe they, when it gets time to public comments or applicants' comments, they could share their concerns. And you do, yes, please do. All exhibits A through F, please.
Make a motion to exhibit A through F to the land partition application for all and 5292.
I'll motion to add these exhibits to the application.
So I have a motion first. I have a second.
I'll second.
So first and second. Any additional questions? Hearing none, all in favor? Sorry, okay. Say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Motion moved. Okay. At this time, I invite the applicant proponent to present testimony and evidence. Please remember, state your name, spell it, and your address.